All right. Hello, 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 and welcome back. This is the Model Counselor Podcast. I'm your host, Aubrey Ebony. And today I have a guest with me. His name is Jelani Martinez. He is the creative director of Sartorial Inc. and the CEO of Emmanuel Showroom, which is a new showroom launching in Atlanta 2019 summer. And we're super excited to have him on the show. Hi, Jelani. How are you?
Hello. Good morning. Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
No, I'm definitely happy to have you. Yeah, no problem. No problem. So tell me a little bit about Sartorial and, you know, Emmanuel Showroom. What are these? Where are they located? Yeah.
So Sartorial Inc. is located on 400 Beach Drive in St. Petersburg. And Emmanuel Showroom will be located in Midtown in Atlanta. However, Emmanuel Showroom is still to come. But Sartorial Inc., you can see it right now. It's a beautiful premium menswear store, all based for the hot weather in Florida.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So it sounds like you're leaving St. Petersburg and planting some new roots in Atlanta. Do you plan to do similar things in Atlanta that you've done in St. Petersburg?
By the end of my time in Atlanta, yes. The plan is to have a retail store there. But for starting out, it's, you know, you got to walk, crawl, run. So the showroom is going to be our crawling stages, and it's going to be really amazing. A made-to-measure showroom with a number of brands. I'm very, very excited to show the people what's coming.
Awesome. No, it sounds like it's going to be great. And excuse me. Yeah, let me know how I could support anyway, and I'll definitely be there for you. So I know you know, before the podcast mentioned that you had a couple of questions, and I just wanted to dive right into them. So what's on your mind? What are your questions?
Yeah, so I've been listening to your first podcast, and thank you for having me on the second one. And I was just wondering, what is the model counselor? You know, like, what is that, and why that? Why would you put your name behind that, Aubrey?
So, you know, It's funny because people don't think of models as individuals that need some type of counseling. But, you know, if you're in the industry, you understand how tough it can be for a model, whether it's like, you know, you're too big, or, you know, you're too little, or you're not tall enough, or you're not this enough. And so, you know, the modeling industry is really hard and harsh on, you know, model self-esteem, whether that be male or female. In addition, you know, early on in the industry's development, eating disorders were very strongly prevalent in the industry, because, you know, you had this pressure to be really skinny. So a lot of, you know, models would use drugs, or, you know, different disorders like being bulimic and stuff like that. And then you get into, you know, preparation for castings. Like I met a young woman at a casting before who was extremely anxious about going in front of the casting directors. And, you know, I really just looked at that, and I was like, there's nothing here for that type of, you know, issue. There's nothing here for that kind of challenge. And, you know, when women or when models or male models or whomever don't get booked for things, there's like depression from not getting booked, or, you know, comparing yourself to the next person. You have negative self-image because the industry is telling you that, you know, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not whatever it is enough. You know, so after I graduated last summer, I said, you know, I really want to do something that's not being done. And I want to work with models on a coaching / counseling aspect, and really dive into the anxiety, the positive self-image, the confidence, the self-esteem, the body image, you know, the depression, the anxiety, all of that stuff that is not talked about. I really wanted to tap into that. And so that's kind of what I've been doing. And, you know, the reason putting my name behind that is because nobody's done anything like that. There's been, per what I've seen, and, you know, I've done my research, and I've also had one of my really good friends do research for me, and nobody's out here doing that. You know, if it's the mental health field, it's geared towards the very normal mental health fields, like relationships or abuse or, you know, work pressure, or, you know, family pressure, or, you know, past depression, there's past traumas, you know, there's a lot of things that counseling, you know, definitely does tap into. And for that, I'm thankful. That's why I, you know, got into the field. But when I correlated my hobby and passion of modeling into my education, I was like, you know what, this is about to go for me. So that is what that is for me. And that is what I plan on doing.
Well, I think that's definitely very much needed, you know, especially helping people who are out trying to be in the limelight. It's definitely very hard on those folks. Mm-hmm. You know, I've modeled on a very low scale, but okay. I've even seen you know, if I tell someone I have anxiety, their responses previously have been like, well, you're a good looking person.
Yeah.
Why do you have anxiety? You know, you right. shouldn't have this kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, why are you depressed? You have the visuals of a happy person, mm-hmm. and thus you should be happy.
Right.
And, you know, it's very frustrating when you get that kind of feedback, because it's like they're trying to invalidate how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And so it's great. I think it's wonderful that you're in this space.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. And thank you for sharing. It's interesting, you know, because being a sign model, you know, I get booked, but then if I want something specific, like a certain gig or job, and I worked really hard at it, you know, to get that job, I feel like I went to the casting and nailed it. You know, the photos I sent were great, you know, and I feel like I was everything that particular client was looking for, and I don't book it. It definitely puts me in a down space, and people don't understand, you know, what that's like. And, you know, it's not like a regular job where, you know, you're hoping for a promotion every, like, you know, a year or 90 days or however often people can be promoted. This is like a every time you go and submit for a job, it's you may or may not get it. You know, so it could be really tough. And I understand the visual presentation of wanting people to see you happy, and people wanting to believe that you're happy. And then internally, you know, you're just going through different things because you haven't been booked, or maybe, like, you know, you're not prepared for something and you have to do something at the last minute. And it's just hard to kind of smile through, you know, the rain some days. So I get that completely.
Yeah. What you just said there made me think a lot of like single sport athletes, mm-hmm. like when they fail. Okay. Like, you know, like boxing or tennis, mm-hmm. or golf,
yeah.
where it's like all the failure is just on them.
Right.
It's not like a team sport, yep. where, you know, you at least have some type of comfort, mm-hmm. or something like that. So how would you say that this is, you know, the counseling versus coaching, you know, just piggybacking off that sports reference right there. Mm. What do you think is the difference between counseling and coaching?
I think that coaching is a physical act of, you know, different activities, such as showing you how to pose, or coaching you on how to speak to a photographer, or coaching you through runway walks, or coaching you through how to, you know, form a portfolio, or how to update your portfolio, or coaching you on how to be prepared for a casting, how to slate. You know, coaching is really just like experiential preparation. I feel like it's making sure you're prepared for the industry in a very baseline, normal way. That's what I would say coaching is. Counseling is really being there, you know, kind of behind the scenes internally, and providing that support for, you know, oh, you know, my family doesn't support me modeling. Okay, well, you know, where is your support system right now? Who do you have that supports you doing this goal? What makes you keep going if nobody's supporting you? Or, you know, it's that, oh, I have a jealous partner and they don't support this and they don't think I should be doing that. Okay, you know, well, how is that impacting you as a model? You know, is this stopping you from getting booked? Is this stopping you from going to castings? You know, it's, again, that depression from not being booked, or that self-esteem from, you know, being booked on the shoot and there are two models next to you and you think you're the least attractive one out of all of them. And, you know, it's all these different things. It's the body image. I'm too skinny. I need to be this. I need to be that. And, you know, the pressures of social media and how they kind of leave these marks and send these, like, subliminal messages to women about what they should be, and men also, you know, about what they should look like, and how that impacts a person if they don't look like that. You know, so it's really tackling kind of the psychology behind modeling, and that's really what it is. You know, I'm actually in a process of obtaining my associate professional license in Georgia, and what that allows me to do is to say that I have the qualifications and have met a certain amount of hours to work with individuals. And that's kind of what modeling, model counseling, and the difference of model coaching ideally is, the idea of preparation versus the psychology behind, you know, the challenges of a model and what they face. So I'd say that those are the main, or the two differences between the two.
That's very cool. Okay.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to go ahead and dive into asking you a couple of questions because I know that you're in the fashion industry, menswear industry, you know, specifically. So, you know, why did you get into menswear? Why that particular, you know, field?
Yeah, so when I was 14, my parents wouldn't buy me video games anymore. So I needed to get a job. So I started working at Ralph Lauren Children's Store. And just from there, that kind of spiked my interest. You know, I was always a person to come into work very early. So you get to work, you know, an hour ahead of time. You were looking at the visual merchandise or put things together. They're interested in, you know, during the spring times, a lot of fabrics, during the winter times when it's very cold. I'm from New York originally, so it was very fabric heavy. And so I'm an internet deep diver, I guess, in my soul. So I was very big into the time music, you know. I maybe had 1,600 songs on my laptop. And so I transferred that passion into clothing. Started to really research brands, see what was going on. I was very interested in even going to school for that, going to college, but I loved cooking. So at the time, I just would research these brands, very much so understand it. And then as I went to a boarding school, during the weekends when I'd have free time, I would go into New York City, go into Soho, and just look at these stores, watch them set up in the morning, watch them get ready, just walk around Soho. I would walk around Soho maybe from 9 a.m. to 5:30 every day. And that's just how I got into it.
Hmm. Okay. So it sounds like you definitely got into menswear pretty early on.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know, I think that when you dive into anything early on, you know, you form an expertise by the time, you know, you are in your mid-20s, you know, especially if you're starting in your teen years, you know, that gives you a good 10-year, you know, window of understanding, learning, experiencing. And so that's super cool. You know, I find that I myself for about 10 years have been in the modeling or entertainment kind of world, whether that's performing or dance or, you know, modeling or, you know, runway. And so it's cool to see how parallel universes kind of do similar things in terms of how you can get experience so early on and be very seasoned still early on in your life. So that's cool.
Yeah. Malcolm Gladwell has written a book called Outliers.
Okay.
And in Outliers, he studies these world's billionaires of why they're successful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about their unique advantage to having what they view as 10,000 hours,
mm-hmm.
which is equivalent to 10 years of experience,
mm-hmm.
where you've been focused on something. And it's a pleasure to not necessarily say I have 10,000 hours, but I am very, very close since now being 25 and starting at 14 to have those 10,000 hours.
Cool. Yeah, no, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. It's, you know, there are a lot of, not theories per se, but a lot of sayings that really tie to, you know, success, whether it's the amount of hours you put in, how early you wake up, you know, how preparation and opportunity, you know, equals success. So it's cool to hear that. You know, I've never heard that is, you know, how many hours that is equivalent to 10 years of work. And, you know, as long as you're putting in the work ethic and, you know, you're learning and open to learn, it sounds like you can really excel in something if you put the hours in.
Yes.
All right. Cool. So what trends are you seeing in the fashion industry in terms of the different models that are being hired? Like, you know, I'm sure you get a lot of different catalogs or, you know, when you go buy for different shows or when you go buy for your stores, you know, I'm sure the catalogs and the, you know, advertising pieces that they use have models. What trends have you seen, you know, since you've started to now?
Yeah, so I would say that when I started out, you know, when I was 14, 15, models had, especially male models, had more of that very lengthy, skinny build. Not a lot of muscles, looking for, you know, 6 feet with a kind of just plain, flat body. Very similar to what you see today in like a Calvin Klein magazine, mm-hmm. what you would see today in a Michael Kors outfit and look, mm-hmm. Lookbooks. That's very similar.
Okay.
Now today you're seeing more of a shift because of athleisure, where you're starting to see more models put on weight, be larger, be bigger, stronger. In terms of streetwear, which is really the number one most popular online form of, you know, marketing now, mm-hmm. it's a lot of alternative male models. So you'll see Armin de Leor mm-hmm. Just did a whole outfitting with a black model who is short and has freckles all over his face and body.
Okay.
Very, very aggressive amounts of freckles. He's a great looking dude. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's not something that you would see in 2010.
Okay.
It's not something, you know, you wouldn't see someone with all of that pigmentation on their face.
Okay.
Or nowadays, Louis Vuitton, because it's so streetwear focused, they've just put in a lot of models with tattoos mm-hmm. all over their bodies, on their face. And so that's very interesting to see nowadays.
Yeah, no, I've seen, you know, even kind of being aware of social media and the different trends that have been, you know, popping out through social media, the different types of models that are being hired now, and they're starting to look very different than the models, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and, you know, excuse me, while I'm, you know, happy to see diversity and whether it's, you know, pigmentation or just visual appearance, it's interesting to watch this cultural shift, especially when it gets to looking at how plus size men and plus size women are now being put in the forefront, and that's something that wasn't done before. And so, you know, I know that as a model, female model, I've seen plus size women in lingerie, I've seen plus size women in swimwear, I've seen plus size women walk runways of major, you know, brands. Are you seeing plus size men, you know, as prevalent as I've seen plus size women? What do you?
No, you're not really seeing plus size men, I would say, as prevalent as you would see ladies. You know, ladies are the number one market, however, in retail. In my uneducated opinion, mm-hmm. You know, ladies are very much emotional creatures, so it's great for them to see themselves in ads and modeling.
Okay.
Not so much do I feel like gentlemen necessarily need that.
Mm-hmm.
However, that is becoming more and more diversity.
Okay.
You know, very much not just having a model who, you know, a Anglo-Saxon based, you know, 6 foot model.
Right.
Now it's, you know, height ranges. You know, you're seeing models under 6 feet
mm-hmm.
Get casted for apparel. Of all different colors.
Right.
They're still going to have that V-cut body, mm-hmm. more than likely, or the very, very skinny, no muscle frame.
Okay.
But that's, yeah, plus size gentlemen, they're doing a great job on the internet in mm-hmm. terms of, you know, suiting. It's very, very common now, especially in suit wear, to see a thicker man dressed in the nines,
okay.
which is a wonderful thing to see.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool. Now, like I said, I'm definitely happy to see that type of inclusion. I think that it's, you know, it's great to be able to see more representation of the different type of people that exist on this planet. You know, you don't want to always see people that have the body type of someone you never see realistically. And, you know, even, you know, now I'm still seeing that type of image, but not the same. Let me explain. Let me clear that up. So, you know, I noticed how in the early 90s and, you know, 70s, 80s, everyone was thick, thin, and very skinny and very slim, kind of like, you know, you said with the Calvin Klein presentation. But now, you know, in women, I'm seeing the very enhanced bodies, and I'm seeing, you know, all the work done on the face, and you're seeing all of this stuff. And so as we move forward into 2020, 2025, you know, I'm really curious to see what the industry will deem as beautiful then, what the industry will deem as, you know, handsome, because things are consistently changing. While I am happy for the change, I would like to see, you know, a direction to where people feel comfortable being petite, people feel comfortable being, you know, their size, their shape, with their hair, their body. You know, I'm really wanting to see a day where everyone can feel like, you know what, this model in a magazine looks similar to me, and that's amazing. I can relate, instead of, you know, looking at this model and saying, oh, I want to be like that. You know, I aspire to look like this. I'm waiting on a day where people are able to look at an advertisement and feel comfortable with what they have and who they are, because the advertisement is really embodying that. So
do you think that if brands shot you know, the same look in three different body types. Do you think that that would cross over more? You think that would be worth their time, worth their investment?
I think that would be cool. I think that would give, you know, viewers or the consumers or the customers something that they haven't seen. You know, if you see something on an advertisement, it's usually two ways of looking at it. You'll see the thinner version and the plus size version, at least from what I've seen. You know, so it'd be interesting to have something smack dab in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that brings more customers. That brings more, you know, people to buy this particular product or brand or outfit. If you're able to provide more than just these two body types, like, you know, give a good range. So yeah, I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, I agree with that. It would be interesting to see. I hope a brand does that one day.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what's going on. We have some time. Yeah. So my very last question would be, what would you like to see different in the industry? You know, in terms of the models and in terms of, you know, fashion even, you know, what would you like to see happen differently?
So not too much in the modeling realm, but definitely for the industry, I would say, with the customer and the customer's understanding or their want to wear premium clothing to work every day. Mm-hmm. Premium streetwear is really blowing up. Hardcore, and that's a beautiful and wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. But I sell timeless clothing.
Okay.
You know, premium clothing, or that higher priced items that's made with integrity, is really what people should be wearing to work every day. You know, we are in an era now where it is about that entrepreneurial spirit, about being multi-purpose, multifaceted, and, you know, caring about a hoodie as much as, or a t-shirt, as or jeans, as much as you care about your work clothes, the suit that you're wearing, you know, or the five pocket pants that you're wearing with a blazer, jacket, getting that nicer cloth or fabric, you will see, will really go a long way to your daily presentation at work. That can really help you break into a higher level of crowd around you, especially as I, for every day, I dress a lot of older clientele. Mm-hmm. And they continually complain about how the younger audiences dress and show up to work. And so that's what I would like to see.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's, you know, a culture in the younger industry where, you know, we're kind of just comfortable in what we want to wear. Mm-hmm. You know, I myself am one of those individuals, and I like to wear what I like to wear. If I have to wear anything outside of that, it definitely is a burden for me, but I see the benefit in having a nice suit or a nice set of dress pants, which, you know, I also own, you know, but I just prefer what's comfortable. But yeah, I understand. I definitely understand wanting to see a shift in that type of culture. So, all right. Thanks for sharing. Did you have any last statements or last questions before we wrapped up?
Yeah, just because you just spoke about comfort there, a lot of clothing now does have a lot of spandex and elastane in it.
Okay.
So you really can still reach that amazing comfort that you're looking for in a jogger, in everyday wear clothing, whether it be shirts, pants, even suits. They are making all of these things with stretch now. So you really can still transition your level of comfort in something that looks far more starch.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm sure the listeners who are really into that type of thing, or the listeners who, you know, need to buy certain clothing for their work or their, you know, interviews or whatever the case may be, would really benefit from that. Thank you again for, thank you again, Jelani, for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Appreciate that. This is only my second ever podcast, and I should have introduced that in the beginning. This is episode 2. So again, thanks for being on here. I super appreciate that. And I'm just going to go ahead and release you. So,
all right. Yeah, and please follow me at Jelani M 1225 on Instagram. Thank you.
Spell Jelani for the listeners.
J-E-L-A-N-I-M 1225.
Perfect. Well, that's awesome. I'm happy I was able to have him here on the show today. You know, it's very interesting to get different people's perspectives on the industry and see what they're seeing and how long they've been in it, you know, in the industry and what they've seen and compared to what they want to see. And, you know, that's why I like to have or try to have different people on the podcast that have experience in worlds that kind of coincide with what I'm talking about. And happy to have them here. So, all right. Thanks for listening and thanks for tuning in. My next guest, I have a Fashion Nova model and so sorry about my throat. I think I'm coming down with the cold. but my next guest I'll have one here is a beautiful Fashion Nova model, and she is actually an all-natural chocolate Fashion Nova model, and I'm super happy to have her on the show coming up next. And I hope you guys enjoy listening to her, and I hope you guys enjoy this particular podcast. And until next time, have a good day, and thanks for listening.